I've enjoyed Thunder Bay, by the way. I haven't met anybody yet that's not friendly here. Like, you guys got an amazing, amazing bunch of people. And I was talking to somebody at home last night, and I said, there's only one problem. I'm falling in love with Thunder Bay. So you guys will be in my heart when I leave here, I can tell you that. It's been quite incredible. There's a lot that's going on in my heart, and I said to Nathan, it's going to be difficult because there's so much that I want to share. And so I spent yesterday preparing, and then last night the Lord woke me up and kind of changed the direction a little bit. So if you bear with me, I love this this motto. I asked them to put it back up, building a fire, a flicker to flame. And we're going to open with a scripture in 1 John, and then we'll pray, okay? It says, behold, John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Father, we just we covet your presence at this time, Lord. We ask, God, that by your Spirit you would bring revelation to our hearts, Lord, that exactly what you're sharing to us, Lord, will go to the deepest places and set us free. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your word and healed them. And Lord, each one of us is a recipient of the stripes that Jesus took. We thank you that you were bruised for us, and battered and broken, and endured the hostility of sinners so we could be free, Lord. We all cursed you, every one of us. We thank you that you have forgiveness for us, Lord, because we didn't know. We didn't know how beautiful you were. And so, Father, open up our hearts today to see this amazing Jesus that you sent to save us. We pray in his wonderful name. Amen. Amen. I was driving a couple weeks back and just driving into work, and there was a program on, you guys probably get that same program here, James Dobson, what's it called? The what? Yeah, some of you guys. Anyway, there was a story on there, and it was a story about an ice factory. I don't know if anybody ever heard it, but it really hit me. There was this factory, and it was an ice factory. And I had watched just a couple of days before, I'd watched a documentary out of the 30s and 40s about the ice, where they used to cut it out of the lake and put it up in buildings and spend the whole winter building ice up for the summer. Anyway, this ice factory, it caught fire. And we had to call the fire department because it was burning to the ground. And the funny thing was that everything they needed to put the fire out was in the building, but it was all frozen, and it really wasn't able to be used to put the fire out. And I think that sometimes we lose the fact that we're complete in him. The Bible says everything we need pertaining to life and godliness is in us through what Jesus has done for us. And the only thing that I know that really can melt ice is heat. And I love this building of fire. You know, when we draw into the presence of God, he has this way of melting us. You know, I got saved. I had not known anything about Jesus. I was saved when I was a teenager. I'd never heard the gospel. I'd never heard anything about Christ. And so when I got saved, I was in a bad, bad place. I was probably around 20 years old at that time. I had lost all hope, very lonely, very depressed, very suicidal. And I used to weep all the time, and I was really broken. And then somebody began to teach me about Jesus. They began to tell me about the hope that's in Christ. And there's something that just began to happen inside of me. And I can't quite explain it. I don't know how the Spirit works, but he just began to melt all that stuff away. And everything that God had for me became a reality in my life. And I accepted Jesus. And I'm telling you, when I accepted Jesus, it was like I loved him with everything in me. There wasn't a lamppost that was safe from worship or testimony. I'd talk to anybody about Jesus. I just loved him. I had just an exuberance in my life for him. And then somebody told me about church. And I said, this is going to be just so fantastic. I go to church. And I can be with other people that love Jesus. And I got to church and I began to get broken again. And the church didn't tell me who I was in Jesus. They didn't tell me what the life that God had in store for me. But they began to point out all the things that were wrong in my life. And I want to take you to a scripture because this is really important. The Lord woke me up last night and he really wants us to distinguish the fire. Because there's two types of fire. There's a consuming fire and there's a refining fire. And both of them come from God, but they come for two different reasons. You know that hell is an unquenchable fire. And the unquenchable fire that works inside of me in my life, especially if you're working with anybody that's in addiction, or you just have a lot of hurt, you've been abused, you've been battered in your life, sexually, all those things, they begin to work inside of you. And the hellfire that's in you, it begins to consume. It begins to consume everything you are. It's just unquenchable, this fire. It begins to destroy everything in your life. It begins to take away all your hope and all your thoughts of a future. And everything that you just feel like you don't belong. You feel like there's nobody that loves you. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, that fire. So a lot of people that I meet that are especially addicts, they take the drug to quench that feeling of loneliness, that feeling of emptiness in their life. And that's what hellfire is like. It will never be satisfied. It will burn up everything in your life. The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take everything that's good out of your life. But Jesus comes to give life. And his life, his fire is a totally different fire. His fire, he says that he will come with his winnowing fork. And he'll throw the chaff, will be burnt up. But he'll refine the wheat. He refines the gold in us. There's a refining that happens in our life that cannot take place until we get this settled in our heart that we are children of God. You know, I dealt with a lot of rejection in my life, and I'm sure that a lot of you guys can relate to this. But as I was growing up, I really felt rejected. I hated my father. I wished him dead. And I think I shared here last time that he died when he was 43, and the devil came to me and said, "You got what you wish for." And my whole life fell apart. I was married at the time with my first son. My wife left me. I mean, I just, everything. I mean, all this stuff was going on inside of my life. It was just literally taking everything good out of me. And I remember falling to my knees and asking Jesus to help me because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. And when I was a little boy, I remember longing to belong. See, this scripture tells me that I am a child of God. And I believe until we understand that we belong to God, until we understand that we're His, that He loves with all of His heart, then we're always going to struggle in our life. And I struggled so long. Even after I became a Christian, I struggled because I made a big mistake. And I'm going to read this to you out of the book of James. Pray that this scripture would kind of turn around your thinking. The scripture says this, James chapter 23, verse 1. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and then goes away and immediately forgets what kind of person he is. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." And Paul had to talk to the church in Galatians. He said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, you who have began this walk in grace, in faith, now you continue on in works." And see, what happened to me is that I began, when I began to come, get around the church. Church is a wonderful place. I love the body of Christ. I absolutely love it. But I think we get something wrong sometimes. There's a work that God does in our heart that we are terrified of. God wants us to begin to refine. And most of us have this thought about God that he's I got to stay away from God. Because if I go near God, if I go near God's people, if I go near the Word, I look in that mirror, I don't want to. How many really have struggled at looking at yourself? And you don't want to know what you are. You know, some of us struggle with the way we look, we feel, especially in this culture. If you're overweight, you don't want to step on a scale. You don't want to see who you are. You want to forget. You want to forget. And when we forget who we are, we begin to bury the pain with every kind of substance that's known to man. And God wants us to look into the perfect law of liberty, who we are. Who we are is children of God. And so when I was a child, I was broken. And I remember being a little boy, and I was in Cub Scouts. And I went to a father-son banquet. And I begged my father. And my father, I don't remember anything my father ever did with me, but I begged him to go to this. And he was military. He was an intelligence officer in the Air Force. And I begged him. So he agreed to go. And this little boy was excited. I was so pumped up. And my dad took me in the car. And as we were driving to the banquet, he looked over and he pointed. He said, "Don't you embarrass me." I said, "Dad, I won't embarrass you." I was just so happy. I would do anything to be with my dad. And we got there and the banquet started, and we just had this wonderful time. And we're coming home in the car, and this little heart of mine was just so enlarged because I belonged to my father. I knew that this was my dad. I'm with my dad. And we got home, and I went to sleep that night, and I just had dreams of all, I got a dad, and we're going to do all stuff together. And you know, when I woke up in the morning, that was the same broken little boy with no dad. And it was taken from me. This hope of a relationship with my father was dashed because nothing had changed. He was still the same as he was, and I was still in the same condition. And it was many years ago when I became a Christian. I was around 20 years old, and I was driving, and somebody had witnessed to me and told me about God's love and what he could do for me. And he began to melt my heart. And I opened up my heart and I said, "God, would you save me? Please forgive me and come into my life and change me." And I remember the moment I did that, this love rushed in the car. And I remember hugging myself and driving. And I was just so, it was so real to me. God's with me. And I went home that night, and my mother had given me a Bible for Christmas. And I'd set it on the shelf. I had never opened it. I was not a Christian at the time, but she gave me the Bible and a jacket. And I just carried that Bible. It was beautiful. She spent a lot of money, and it was leather. And it really meant a lot to me that my mom would give it to me. And I was sitting by the bedside in my sister's house. And I went to sleep, and I had sugar plums and dancing in my head. You know? Like a kid at Christmas, I just met Jesus. I was so excited. I just thought of this life that now I would have. And I went to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, sheer panic struck me. I was so terrified because I remember being a little boy. And their relationship just being dashed away. And I said, was it real? Was it real? And I reached over and I grabbed that Bible and I flipped it open. And it fell open to Isaiah. And he said, "You're mine. I've washed you. I've cleansed you. I've taken away your sins. Though they were crimson, now you're white as snow." And I remember just lifting both hands and screaming, "It's real. It's real." And God has never, ever left me. "I will never leave or forsake you," Jesus said. "I'll be with you to the end of the world." And see, there's something happens that after we get saved, we begin to look into this word. And we begin to reflect. And we see. You see, if we're not raised the right way as children, all we see is hopelessness. All we see is failure. All we see is, "I'll never be good enough. I'm not even lovable. I'm not approachable. Nobody cares about me. And sometimes we make the mistake in the church that we come and we present the word in a way that condemns people. And people don't want to be around. They don't want to look at where they are. They want to see where they're going. And I love that story of Abraham when God told him after Lot had left him. He said, Abraham, stand on this mountain. He said, look from where you are. As far as you can see in every direction, I'm going to give you. And that's the message that God gives you and me. Now that you're mine, I want you to look as far as you can in any direction. And every place your feet go is yours. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And this hope rises up. See, those that have this hope that they're God's children, that's what begins to change us. And we make a big mistake when we try to change ourselves in our own strength. We try to follow the rules. And some people say, Jesus was a great teacher. And I said, if he's a great teacher, we're in deep trouble. Because we couldn't keep one thing that he taught. He's a Savior. He came to rescue me. He came to put his heart within me. He came to just totally overwhelm me with his love. He's my Savior. And because he's my Savior, the world is my oyster. You know that God says that in his presence, there's joy and pleasure forevermore. Someday we're going to stand with him and that we're going to be in that kind of a situation. But you know that that's here now. You know that when we accept Jesus, there's joy and pleasure. You think about all through the world that God has sprinkled pleasure in his creation. Some of you have tasted that. You've stood by a stream and you felt the pleasure of being in nature and listening to the birds sing. Some of you have had different experiences that you just felt the pleasure. Do you know what happens when we don't belong? We don't experience any of that. The very life of Christ is cut off from us. But as we become children of God, we experience the pleasure of God. And everyone you meet, instead of criticizing or judging people, you feel the pleasure of their presence. You love people. God says, if you say you love me and hate your brother, you're a liar. Because if we try to keep this word in our own strength, but as we look in the perfect law of liberty, you see, love can never be, you know, I've been married now 40 years. We'll be married 40 years in June, Joyce and I. And she came back, by the way. So, So we've been married 40 years. And you know what? I can't get close enough to her. I say to her all the time, I just wish I could get inside of you. I can't hug you tight enough. I can't be around you enough. If some way I could get inside you, and I know that's what Jesus feels about you, I just want to be close. If I could just get inside you, and God says, I know a way. I know a way that if you'll go and you'll sacrifice your life for them, that the sin debt would be paid and you would make a way for me and you to come and live in them. And Jesus said, I'm up for it. I'm up for it. And the Bible says, with joy he endured cross for you and I, for the hope of being in your presence, of being in you and among you. He loves you this morning. He's not mad at you. Sometimes we look at this Bible and all we see, because of our unbelonging, we see where we fail and where we don't measure up. We don't even feel that we belong to an earthly family, let alone God. How could God love me? But as I look in the perfect law of liberty that Jesus came and shed his blood for me. When I look at the cross, when I see what Jesus did, I know what my life was like. I know where I'd be without Jesus. I guess I don't. I could be dead. But a lot of you guys, you know what life is like without God. And I read scriptures all the time that don't, you know, some people question God a lot. They'll ask questions like, if God is love, then how come he allows all this evil? And you can't make a blanket question like that. Because if God took care of evil, you wouldn't be here. So he poured evil on his own son so you could be free. And everybody else, the abuser and the abused, have an access to be set free from this sinful world where the devil runs ransack over families, where little children that are to be loved are being abused. God loves everyone. And so we just make some blanket statements sometimes about God, but He loves us. He's not willing that one should perish. Not one. He loves you. And I believe if we can understand that we're accepted in Him. There's a scripture that's in my heart that I really wanted to share with you. That it's Philippians chapter 1. And I want this scripture to get down inside of you. Philippians 1 verse 9 says this: "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." This I pray, that your love may abound more and more. Can you say more and more with me? You know, when I read this word, it's so that my love can abound more and more. The more I read this word, you see, there's a refining fire. We're so afraid of God because He's an all-consuming. Like, He could destroy us so quickly. But we belong to Him. I'm going to just tell you this, that when the Bible talks about being adopted in as sons, in the culture Jesus came from, in that Roman society, all adopted children, there was two things that happened. And you could adopt somebody that was your age. You could adopt a man, or you could adopt a child, you could adopt anybody. If you did adopt them, number one thing that happened, all the debts they incurred were paid off. The father had to pay that debt off. Number two, they had to promise that they would not love their own children more than you. They had to love you as much as they love their own flesh and blood. You know what that tells me? The same way Jesus is loved by God, I am loved by God. I am a child of God. God doesn't love Jesus more than me. He loves Jesus equal to me. You know what that does to my heart? That any moment I can call upon my Father like Jesus did? What a radical thing that Jesus taught us. Our Father. Our Father, not my Father. Just pray to my Father. No, pray. Our Father who art in heaven. You and I are loved equal to Jesus. The next time you're going through a trial or a difficulty or a situation, you can call. The Bible says in Hebrews, you can run boldly into the throne room and gain help. Because Jesus made a way for you to be a son of God. Not a lesser, but an equal son of God. The Bible says we are joint heirs with Him in all things, equal. God loves you like He loves Jesus. Exactly. How do you get defeated when you know that? How can anybody tell you that you don't belong or that you're inferior when I'm loved exactly like God loves Jesus? He loves me. And that is the truth of the gospel. That's what Jesus made available to you and me to lift us out of this hell that we live in, where we let everything, that we let this hell come into us and tell us all these things that are untrue. The enemy brings lie after lie after lie and devalues us and makes us feel inferior. You are not inferior. You are loved equal to the Son of God. That's crazy. I don't know if that's radical for you, but that's crazy to me. I can walk around with a confidence and a boldness. And I love what God says. You know, I was chatting with my daughter a couple weeks ago. I said, there's two things that can happen. You can either let your heart counsel you, which the Bible says not to. The Bible says if your heart condemns you, what? God is greater than your heart. So we can listen to what our heart tells us. I'm no good. I'll never make it. We can listen to that. We can be counseled by our own heart. Or we can speak to it. And we say, heart, Randy, you are. And the way that I defeated the enemy, see, the way that this hope begins to rise in me, all that inferiority and all the rejection in my life, God said, listen, you've got to speak this. And I used to say, God, I'm your favorite. I just laid my hand. I'm your favorite. I'm the apple of your eye. God, you would have moved heaven and earth. You sent Jesus for me. I am what I am by your grace. And I began to speak to my heart and tear down instead of letting that heart counsel. You know, we all struggle. But God says, when you come to me, I'm going to renew you. I'm going to refine you. And you know, I teach 12-step every day. Most weeks, I share the gospel about 8 times a week. And every day when I'm sharing with 12-step guys, the step 4, 5, 6, and 7, there's 4 steps in a row that deal with character. And I tell them, I want you to be so absolutely, incredibly pumped. See, step 4, I don't know if anybody here is in recovery, but step 4 is a step that most people run from. They'll run away from because we got to examine our character. And we don't want to look into a mirror. We don't want to see. When I don't feel good about myself, when I feel ugly, the last thing I want to do is look in a mirror. If I'm overweight and I don't like how I feel, the last thing I want to do is get on a scale. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the hardest thing for you and I is to look inside. But it's so important that we examine ourselves, that we look at the character. Because God has some steps involved. He wants to look at us, recognize it, ask Him to remove it, and fill us with His character. And so when I bring my character defects, what changed my life was a little scripture that said, for this reason was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the enemy. Listen, that was so liberating to me. I could bring my struggle to God. I say, God, I'm struggling in this area. And I would take it to Him, and He would help me with it. And for a long time, when I struggled, when I felt inadequate, when I felt I couldn't measure up, I hid from God. I didn't want the fire of His judgment on me. I didn't want the judgment of hell. All I knew about God's fire was He could consume me at any moment. There are times that I got up and preached and I said, God, you have every right to leave me. I just feel like a failure. I'm not doing well at all. And you have every right not even to show up. And never once did He ever leave me hanging. Never once did He ever abandon me. He's a good God. And He loves us. He truly, truly, truly does. And I want people to be so excited about bringing our character defects to God. All those things that have shaped the way we live and the way we think. And we can take them to God. Because God brings them up for one reason. See, His wheeling fan is in His hand. And he burns up the chaff of our life. But He brings forth the good stuff. And so God, when he puts a finger on an area of your life, He's not doing it to condemn you. Do you know there's no condemnation for those in Christ? He's not doing it to condemn you. He's doing it to free you. And when I understood that, when He put an area in my life, I'd take it to Him, burn it up. God, I want to get rid of this. I want to be free. And one thing that I've learned about God, when we look at the character of God out of Galatians chapter 5, try this, and I encourage you to try this. Just make a decision to believe. See, again, we got everything we need to live godly. There's nothing else. God said, when Jesus died, He said, it's finished. The work's done. Everything you need, now you have to believe and step into it. Because this is yours. And so our belief system is what really hangs us up. We just believe we're inferior. We believe we're no good. God, take those things away from my life. And so God begins to do a work in us. And He changes us. And we behold Him. And the Bible says we live from glory to glory. So I bring my faults in. And I challenge you to do this. Take one. What's a good character quality? Let's say kindness. You say, God, I don't have much kindness. I'm pretty short-tempered and mean sometimes. I want to be kind. God, would you help me to be kind? Would you put your kindness in me? You know, it's a lot easier to ask God to do things than to strive to do them in your own strength. But God, would you give me, I don't have kindness. How can I work it up? I don't have any. God, give me some kindness. And I step out to be kind. And you know what will happen? It's a real freaky thing, actually. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, love, joy, all that. It's one thing. And so when I'm kind, guess what? I can't be kind without being patient. I can't be kind without being loving. I can't be kind without, it snowballs. And I always say it's like dominoes. Once you flip the first one, all of the character of God begins to develop in your life. If you'll say, God, just make me kind. He doesn't work it. It's not one at a time. He works the whole thing. But I'll tell you, Sin does the same thing. Anger. You can't be angry without being mean, and you can't be angry without being rude, and you can't be angry. It just snowballs. And all the characters of the enemy just come up in none of us. God, I want to be free from that. I want to be free. I want to build this fire. I want to get so close to you, God, that everything in me that you put there begins to melt so I can use it. I can use it. The Bible says, out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. What's the good of it? My daughter and Nathan were up, and all the kids were up at the falls or somewhere, and they were in an ice cave, huge icicles. All that water froze. They're in under it. Looks nice. All those things in us, are they any good to us if they're not flowing out of us? And the only thing I know, it's not going to be your effort. It's going to be you getting close to Him. And as you begin to believe who you are in God, I'm telling you, it will begin to melt. Everything in you will begin to be used effectively. Everything's in you already. I'm going to tell you that. Jesus put it in you. And that's who you are. You are sons of God. So if I'm a son of God, is there anything missing out of Jesus? Is there any character he doesn't have? Neither do you. It might be frozen, a big chunk of ice right now, but you get close to the fire. You get close to God. You get close to his presence. You begin to believe that you're accepted in him and loved by him. I'm telling you, it will melt out of you. The love of God will flow to other people. The kindness of God will just minister to those around you. The patience of God will just exude from you. Every pore of your being will begin to let God out. And that's what God wants to do. He does. And if anybody knows about ice, it's you guys. So aren't you looking forward to the summer melt? Only one thing's going to take this ice away. And guys, there's only one thing that takes ice. It's not us trying harder. We can't look into these rules and measure ourselves. The Bible says if we measure ourselves by ourselves and against ourselves, we're without understanding. But the Bible tells me right here in Philippians, again this verse, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in all knowledge and discernment. Every time I open that scripture, God has shown me how to let more and more love out. He's taking away the things that hinder my love. He's taking away the bitterness. If you've ever had a root of bitterness in your life, you know. Have you ever seen a root-bound plant where you pull it out and there's no dirt? You're thinking, where did the dirt go? It's just a big ball of roots. And it will consume itself at some point. And that's kind of what sin does to us. Because we can't get the nourishment we need. And so sometimes we just leave wrong character in our life. If you're angry, sometimes we don't want to change because anger is how we control the people around us. And I'm telling you, it'll destroy you. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your marriage if you don't bring that anger to God and say, God, would you take this anger out of me? It's not everybody else's fault, God. It's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me, God, who needs to change. God, I have an angry heart, but the heart you put in me is not angry. So, God, let your life begin to work through me. It's in you. It's in you. Don't you ever step back and feel like you're inferior. Everything that everyone who's ever been in this Bible is inside of you. And God wants you close enough to the flame to begin to feel that liquefy. If we get liquefied, guys, we will flood. Nathan's buying a house in the floodplain, by the way. But if we get liquefied, we will flood Thunder Bay with the love of Jesus. We're so hard. We've got everything we need, but it's so hard. And it's set block upon block, and it doesn't move. The love of God can't flow from us. God wants us liquefied. He wants everything that's in Him to flow out through you. You're not condemned. Goodness gracious, God didn't come to condemn you. I didn't come into the world to condemn you. I came to save you. Save you from the one who is condemning you. That old wicked Satan who just loves to point the finger of accusation against you. I came to destroy his work. So I hear God today. Do you hear God today? Saying you're my child. In the same way I love my son, I love you. no less, no more equal. You are equal to my Son in my love for you. And that sets me free. The love of God sets us free. That's the perfect law of liberty. When we look into that perfect law of liberty, not a mirror, but a perfect law of liberty, when I read this book, that my love would abound more and more in all knowledge and discernment. Every time I hear more of God, more love, more love, more love is let go. Last two scriptures and I'll close. Here's the end of it. And I pray that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment, and that you may approve the things which are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. Those fruits are of Jesus Christ. And if you belong to God, you have all you need. You are who you are by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you, you guys are amazing. God looks at you with such an amazing love. And anybody that feels less than amazing here today are listening to a lie. And God, break the lies off of us. You came to set us free. You know, there's an area in my life that keeps me stumbling, keeps me offensive to other people, makes me isolate. God, bring it to the surface, expose it, and burn it away. That's not you. I want that chaff gone, God. I want the pure milk of your word, that I might grow thereby in grace. Amen? He's good. He's a good God. So you keep that fire going. Whoa, it took off the fire thing. Right, keep that fire going, guys. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful flame that God makes. I want to get near the flame. Are you cold today? Get near the flame. You guys live in a cold climate. I bet you get your furnace on. See, we can defeat the cold by getting near the flame, close to Him. Come unto me, all you're heavy and weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly. I just love you. I love you. I pray that you feel absolutely loved today by God. Don't you ever take a back seat. Don't you listen to that old enemy who tells you you're not good enough. You're way good enough. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that's good enough for me. Amen. Was that good enough for you?
Yeah.
He's good enough. Amen. He is good enough for all of us. He is a great God. And I pray you feel His presence today and His love. And if you're here today and you've never, ever accepted Him, and you've listened to the lies, and you've been afraid to approach Him, He has a life for you. You can feel that same thing I felt in the car. It's real. It transformed my life, guys. It's real. I could hear myself screaming it today at age of 20. It's real. It's real. It's real. And God's been real to me ever since. And I've watched Him change countless lives. Lives that were so hopeless and empty, heading for nowhere. So many people that have overdosed over and over again come to Christ and are changed because they believe something about themselves that wasn't true. But God breaks all the lies. God's love is enough. Amen? But Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your love, Father, is amazing. Your love is amazing. Those songs we sing about your love, God, they just overflow our hope. Because anyone who has this knowledge, God, has a hope in them. We have a hope, God, of things that are greater than more. Greater things are yet to come in this city, we pray. We pray you, God, just seal this word to our heart. If there's those here tonight or this morning that have never accepted you, may this be their day. Just to say, God, I believe. That's all it takes. I believe. To as many who's believed, He gave the right to become sons of God. Believe in Him today. He's absolutely for you, not against you. Amen.